Blog Talk Radio.
There's no reason for you to find fault in me. There's no reason for me to find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now.
Take the time to talk about that theme song that you hear, which is a brother by the name of Stanley Earl Brown, better known as Seb, along with myself, and it's called Just Be. And if you are interested in that particular tune, please go to SoundClick and look up Minister of Soul, and you can purchase that. I think it's like $1.99 or something to that effect. Anyway, and I say that because Brother Earl and I haven't spoken for a while, and it is because of disunity and the disunity that is in myself that, you know, people talk about artists being very temperamental. I just think there were some things we could have handled different, and hopefully sending out the vibrations for him to hook back up, because that's something that we can continue to do. So a shout out to you, Brother Stanley Earl. You know, as we wait for our co-host to give us a call today, we are going to be discussing, you know, as usual. That's why I call it the mental house. There's a couple emails that I had that that really touched me that I thought I would share. One of them was through, and I want to encourage you to go to a shrinkformen.com. Very interesting articles that can be read about abuse and mental health issues, personality and character disorders, and just obnoxious behavior is what I pretty much call it. Because a lot of times that when we start waking up and being conscious of our own behavior is when we can really start making change and being effective in our lives as well as other folks' lives. So it all starts, like Michael Jackson said, with the person in the mirror. I believe my 414 area code is with us. Let's give it a shot and see if Miss Brown is out there. Maddie, are you out there this evening?
Yes, I am. So how are you
great.
Today? It's a pleasure to be back with you.
Mm.
And learn more about this mountain.
I know that's right. We are so glad to have you back. So glad to have you back for some of your insight and just a little bit of your, you know, wisdom and some of the things that you expressed, because we really find that a real pleasant time to get some real life experiences and not just stuff that people have read. We like to hear about people who are actually experiencing and standing in the battle with things. And I think that in that way, it's a little bit more authentic. But, you know, we were talking about healing also from, you know, bad relationships and borderline relationships and relationships that are unhealthy because of mental health issues or any kind of high conflict issues. And those relationships can be any, whether it's a mom and daughter or, you know, man and woman and lovers or husband and wife. It doesn't really matter. The people we work with, our coworkers, because when we're in this society, we have to deal with people, okay? So we can't get around it.
Yeah.
And at some point, we really have to, you know, I think, Maddie, keep a pulse on how we think. And so that way we can kind of recognize and be, like I said, kind of calm when we encounter, I guess, other people who don't take life or see things exactly the way we do. What you think about that?
Well, I think that I wouldn't recognize that if I hadn't had a grandson that was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And I was told some of the symptoms and what to expect. And these people that have these disorders, like schizophrenia, bipolar, and all of that. You can't talk to them like you would, quote unquote, supposed to be normal person, because these people already some hear voices and I don't know the real behavior pattern, but I know they have tempers and they have a tendency to snap. And if you snap with them, they have a tendency to become pretty dangerous. You know, so you got to know where it's safe at and where it's not safe when you're dealing with people. And reading up on this and talking to professionals in Minnesota, they alerted me to what to expect and know when to have time out, even if I snap back.
Okay.
But somebody has to shut up. You know,
right.
In order to calm matters down. Because if you both keep going at it, the person that has the most severe problem becomes the most dangerous person. So.
Okay. And then I guess when everybody's going at it, sometimes you can't tell who got the real problem, huh?
Well,
because, you know, it takes
time,
a long time to get.
Time,
yeah. Go ahead.
Most of the time, people that have, like, I come from a family of mental health problems and stuff, and I have my own issues in time where I have learned to control them. That's why
mm-hmm.
I believe it's a learned behavior. Because I
mm-hmm.
unlearned that behavior to where
I'm
at.
But you know, I'm coming
today.
To
and
believe now that all of us are coming from a mental dysfunctional families. It's just that some
yeah.
are more dysfunctional than others. And so the ones that are not
right.
so dysfunctional, they seem to slip through the cracks, but they may be dysfunctional in other ways. Might not be so overt, but I think it's just a big problem with mental illness, period. You know, and just some is worse than others.
Well, most of the dysfunction people, is, you must know it's a mental deficiency. We were short of stuff, short of the proper food we need, short
okay.
of proper prenatal care that was needed for the woman that was carrying
okay.
the baby. You know, so there was a lot of deficiency going on during that time because you didn't have what you have today. And even today, you have where young people, child people can go and get prenatal care when they're pregnant, but most of them do not. They only go when it's time to deliver the baby. So we have these deficiencies that is not being addressed. You know? And if it is, it's more or less in the private middle class or upper class, you know, so we become slaves to the pharmaceutical because nobody really understands us. We're just called the crazy folks. So a whole bunch of crazy folks, a whole bunch of lazy, crazy folks don't want to do nothing.
Wow.
But it takes somebody to care to come and lead you out of that situation that your family gonna put you in, society gonna put you in. Everybody, everywhere you look, and somebody standing on the corner and just say, you have a problem. Well, they have a problem too. So.
Okay. Wow.
So this is like passed down generation and stuff. And like you were talking about, I think it was our last conversation about the DNA being put into the woman.
Yeah, that was crazy, wasn't it? Mm-hmm.
The DNA being put into the woman's womb, you know, into the different men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how do we know that some of these DNAs have not passed through the ass that was fertilized?
Right.
And the baby, you know, so we have a lot of research to do for mental challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think people want to do it in the right way. We'd rather do it in mice and rats and other things, other form, and then use the people that suffer these deficiencies, guinea pig with the medication that have great side effects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The mind
That's true.
Controlling, but it's a great, great side effect. So how do we address all of these issues to get them on one page?
Right. Right. How do we address, you know what? And I think if I knew the answer to that, I think I'd retire somewhere on an island and live happily ever after.
Okay.
But
that's the work,
you know,
I think needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that, you know, as we were, you know, when we're talking about, I like to sometimes call it high conflict individuals. Sometimes, because there's so many labels we got to go on with this stuff. But, you know, there was a person that sent me a email, or I had an email sent to me. Let's see. Let me see if I can find it.
Okay.
I don't know if I even still have it anymore. But Actually, I can just share this. We're talking about mental health, and I'm just going to share it. I don't have the email anymore, but there was an article from Shrink for Men that was out, and there was a young man, I guess, that sent this article to me. And he said violent, it was called Violent Alcohol Wife Attacks. Of course, October is Domestic Violence Month, by the way. And I contend that most of the domestic violence calls, because now they've made pretty much black men the poster child for domestic violence. But I contend that a lot of domestic violence issues come from a lot of mental health issues that are not being addressed. And if we probably could address a lot of those issues, then we probably would have less domestic violence issues. Because they all kind of go hand in hand, you know, actually, when we really think about it. But there was an article, and I'm going to see if I can get through this real quick, and then this person left a timeline of what his day is like living with this particular person. He goes, March 22nd, wife and 12-year-old son. I meet my mother and her fiancé for dinner. Once we're at the restaurant, my wife orders a Cosmo Strong. I think to myself, oh, great, because she's going to begin to start drinking alcohol. My wife and my mother split a carafe of wine after her Cosmo, and so we went to my mom's house to share photos of our holiday last month. All is going well until my wife opens up another bottle of wine. Soon after, I hear her pushing my mother about selling some property. I mean, she just keeps on and on and on and riding my mother about it, and I don't see why this is any of our business, so I began to feel uncomfortable. Finally, my mother says, well, it's not my decision, so that's where we are on this. Let's stop talking about it. Son, mom's fiance and I are in the other room. And then because I'm getting a little emotional right now. I hear wife and my mother whispering or talking, but it's sounding like it's getting heated. And then I hear the two of them go upstairs. I am beginning to follow to make sure that they're okay. Also, it's getting late, and we have to drive home. My wife is staggering around, and now she is full-face drunk, and she is in my mother's face yelling at her. Although my mother seems to be a little intoxicated as well, she is retreating as she does not want to argue with my wife. They're accusing each other of causing each other so much pain, and here I am in the middle of both of these women who I love. Wow. And they are actually getting boisterous and more boisterous. My wife begins calling my mom a bitch and other names as my mom's fiance. And my son and I stand there in disbelief. I let wife go for a bit, and then I decided to stop, because if I would have talked to my wife, she would have attacked me. Finally, I got my wife to stop, and I tried to leave. All the while we are riding home, she's belittling me and saying I chose my mom's side, which was not true, as I just felt totally uncomfortable, but I tried to stay neutral through this. Once we're at home, my wife goes upstairs, and I go to my son's room to explain what had happened, that is not a good example of how to behave. He said he understands, and he gets ready for bed. All of a sudden, my wife enters the kitchen. I hear our son go downstairs, and my wife begins to start drinking again. It just kills me as she cannot and will not see what this is doing to our family. So when my son sees her drinking, he said, please, Mom, don't drink anymore. Please, just do it for me. Please, please stop drinking. My heart hurts and bleeds from hearing my son plead with my wife to stop drinking alcohol. My wife continues to drink. She comes to bed and asks if I'll hold her. No thanks, I say. And then she starts more crap. So I get my pillow and head downstairs to the couch. 5 minutes later, she comes out of the bedroom, flips on the lights, and tries to get me to go upstairs. I had a blanket over my head, as I knew she would come out and do her classic flip on the lights move. She sees that we're not getting anywhere and heads back upstairs and leaves the lights on. A few minutes later, she comes back downstairs and tries the nice guy routine one more time. I don't respond, and then she changes her tactics. She is drunk by this time. That is where she told me I ruined her life and that she's going to fuck all the men that she can find after I'm gone, and no one will want me. She is drunk and staggering back and forth. She transitions back and forth between the two routines for a few more minutes, and I continue to ignore her, and so she escalates and punches me on the top of the head. At this point, I've had enough. I get up to try to go to the couch and ask her to stop, please stop. She jumps up, punches me in the head, and goes upstairs. I go upstairs, I get dressed, I pack my overnight bag, and I grab my work bag and laptop and head for the door. My wife blocks the door. She is drunk, and she says all the kinds of things in the desperate attempt to get me to stay. Because I still need to leave, and I am just sick of her shit, she said that she will call the police on me, which is what she did, and I, in turn, before I had a chance to leave my property, was arrested for domestic violence.
Oh. Not one time did he do anything.
And to me, it seemed like alcohol played a big part of her acting like she was crazy. I mean, I don't know if this is, whatever deficiency that she had, certainly that couldn't have made it any better. The fact of the matter is, alcohol is just as legal as anything. It's amazing.
It's the number one draw, Scott.
Absolutely.
It's the number one draw. And it's the most dangerous draw that I would say, because you lose more lives with alcohol than anything that I know. They want to say tobacco, but I say alcohol.
No, you're right. No, it's alcohol. It is alcohol.
Cause of death.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's more acceptable. People don't even accept cigarette smoking because they got designated
legal.
But they'll accept that alcohol.
And it's
now,
legal.
This story, and it's legal, absolutely. And everybody do it because it's sociable. Hey, can you give me a drink? You sit down at the restaurant. Would you like wine? You go to the bar, you go anywhere, you go to the liquor store. So my point is, it's totally legal and it's totally sociable and acceptable. And
well, some people's brains do not tolerate the wine the liquor like others. You got some can rank sociable and be sensible with it. You got some that drink and cause accidents and kill people. So you got some that get in fights and kill people and hurt folks. You got so many things that alcohol causes harm to when, you look at it. And if somebody have already a mental disorder, like schizophrenia and hearing voices or manic, so it's something like this could be some of the things that trigger those things. I have a friend that cannot drink, even beer. If he drinks beer, he can't. One can of beer, then he's chasing his beer all night if it has to be. If he drinks a shot of liquor, he don't chase it. No, he can't seem to stop. Yeah, and that's me not going to work or just going out there hustling up enough money just to get that drink, you know. And to me, I said, you know, you can't live like that around me. You know, you can't even live in my house doing nothing like that. Can't do it.
You know,
you gotta,
and that's amazing that you said.
To go.
Yeah. Now, you know, and that's what you just said. What you said is real profound. I have a brother who, an adopted brother, who has alcohol fetal syndrome. So he was born, his parents were, his mother was a heavy drinker. And in fact, as long as he doesn't take a sip of alcohol, he's the finest young man that you ever want to see. Very neat, very mannerable, very polite, not disrespectful. But the minute that he has a drink, and I mean it can be a can of beer, it can be whatever, he will turn into the Incredible Hulk. The only reason the police haven't killed him thus far, because usually whenever he has one of those EDPs and they have to be alerted, they, because my brother was a lieutenant, a lot of times they know the name right away and they go, wow, this is, you know, this is, I wonder, is he any related to yada, 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 and then all of a sudden they go, wow, that's so-and-so's brother. You get what I'm saying? And now it becomes, wow, let's just get this guy, and it takes like 7 or 8 police officers. They might just mace him, subdue him, and scratch his flesh all on the ground, and do you know when he comes down from being drunk, after he comes back to himself, he doesn't even remember? After the police done drug him down there all the way through the city, he don't even remember.
Right, that's called blackout. That's called blackout. And alcoholics that have blackout can be very dangerous. If you light in on them, or if you talk about them or something like that, they can become very dangerous, you know. And new things, okay. I know this one person that almost lost her life behind that. So
okay. Well, that's my brother. My brother is exactly, and that's what we worry about with the challenges with him, because, you know, he has that's his diagnosis, alcohol fetal syndrome. And alcohol is so legal, and if he walks into a liquor store, nobody's going to say, hey, show me a card that you can drink. Not alone that you've grown, show me that you have the capabilities to drink. Hell no, that's not, nobody's going to do that. But the worst thing that can happen to that young man is for anybody to give him a can of beer or a drink of wine, because you're going to be sorry, because he's going to tear the whole damn joint up. You see what I'm saying? And that's what we had to deal with, and that was a challenge, period. He locked up right now, you know, but the fact of the matter is when he get out and he can drink, it's going to be legal, and he's going to end up right back in there.
Yeah. But all of this is a learned behavior, you know, and I have 2 people that I'm dealing with. And so.
Well, how does it work for you? How does it work for you?
So,
what do you
my
do?
Learned
what
thing,
advice can you
so,
give us?
Well, I right now.
Okay.
Right now, what I do. I let them know what I'm going to accept and what I'm not, you know. And I give them ultimatum in trying to get their act together.
Okay.
You know.
And that seems to work.
They know
pretty,
that I will do what I say I'm going to do. So far, so good that I'm seeing, you know, the behavior different in the alcoholic, the one that drank. My grandson, he snaps when he don't know what you really saying, and he's in that state of mind, and he thinks, or he's trying to manipulate you, you know.
Okay.
That's his defense with snapping, and I just let him know that if he don't stop that, something bad will happen to him. You know, I say my little have my little speech, and then I cut it off because I can see that he's nice.
Well, I commend you. I commend you because I think so far you've been very successful, especially dealing with all the challenges that you have to deal with his personality and the things that you have to encounter with him and working with him and the diligence that you show in trying to make sure that there's programs and resources available for that young man. I just want to commend you because it's real challenging, and especially when you have challenges of your own. And
right.
So those are things that you know, you have to commend the person through, you know. And actually,
well,
that's
I just
so.
I feel like since I know this is a risk in a danger zone, young people, it's like my grandson and stuff should be able to have places that they can be able to stay, you know, with people more or less their age, and maybe dealing with some of the issues, you know, where they get along, you know. My grandson seems to get along with others just fine. It's just me. He doesn't seem to like where they are. And I feel that it's illness instead of just being, you know.
And then when he sees you, he sees the his mom, inadequacies in him.
Well,
it reminds him of his mom, maybe, you know. I mean,
well,
because they're,
no,
you know, you
I'm
are connected.
I'm still pushing him to do something. I'm not sitting back and say, you should take this and just do nothing. You know, you need to do something with your life. And I keep pushing him. He doesn't like that. You know?
Wow.
And so,
that's interesting. You know, and every time we talk, you know, before, you know, we come with a ruffle of information, and it begins time to almost be wind down time for us. There's a tune that I promised a young person I was going to get a chance to play. So I'm going to make sure I definitely put that on today and go out.
Okay.
And we're going to, because I want to get to talk about these plastronics that we had talked about last time. We didn't get a chance to get into it because I was grabbing some more information about that. Plastics and how plastics are basically controlling our lives. And that information you gave me was very, very profound. So I'm still doing a little research on that, and hopefully tomorrow when we get a chance to bring something to the people, we can talk a little bit more about that.
Okay.
I'm going to put this tune on, and we're going to come back after this tune. So y'all go ahead and check this out, and we'll be right back with you.
Like an artist, when Brahma be saying there ain't gonna be nothing. My daddy be saying there ain't gonna be nothing. Even some teachers did some of this because I've been playing and stuff, but I still know what I wanna do. I don't know if that matters, stuff because they don't choose their goals and keep their hope alive. I just feel like they've been putting it all on me, so what do you do?
Thank you. need. Just don't get caught up in what everybody else thinks you should be. Stay true to who you are. Just let yourself guide yourself to your peak and to your time. I don't care who.
Somebody need to tell somebody that I shall rise, rise, rise and never fall, cause I've already reached the bottom to the top. But hope, hope has brought me there. So inhale me deeply and breathe. You
don't lose your hope.
I am, I am.
Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope.
Uranus and Brother Stanley Earl Brown for giving us that rendition of Hope, and the little young brother Jimmy doing his little spit up in there. Thank y'all for that lovely CD that y'all sent to me. I like that. I like it a lot. You know, Maddie and I were talking about mental health issues. We're talking about how much alcohol plays a role and how its acceptability may be where we can start in how to deal with some of these things and how to, in other words, to maintain and control some of these behaviors. But as we looked at the time, we realized that we were running short, and because we can't bring you the Plastronics conversation, because we want to really do a good job and bring you a little bit more about that. So with that being said, y'all know we're going to come right back at you tomorrow and bring you as much information as we possibly can. And so hopefully y'all going to be out there waiting on us to bring it to you. Am I right, Maddie? Are you there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
all right. And hopefully if I can get you to sign on and bring us a little bit more information, I'm going to bring a little bit more especially concerning that plastic. And I thought what you said when you saw Dr. Oz and the information he was bringing about that really struck me as something that I really, really wanted, that was an important topic that we should bring to the people.
Okay.
All right. All right. And with that being said, is there anything you want to say, closing up and wrapping this up?
Well, I need to do a little bit more research on that myself or talk to you more about it, because I just saw it and I got some information on it. I think you said you did a little bit more research on it. So that's going to be an interesting topic.
It really is. And I look forward to it. In fact, I look forward to us discussing that. Absolutely.
Okay.
So with that being said, we want y'all to join us on the next installment of To Liberate. I want to thank my co-host, Ms. Maddie Brown, and we'll check y'all out again tomorrow. Until then, Hotep family.
Okay.
Honest children. Sure.
find fault in you. And none of us are perfect, but we are as perfect as we were created. After all, we feel the same sun, breathe the same air, live on the same earth, and under the same sky. So let's just get it right now. Cause you have a soul like I do, so I have no right to judge you. Cause the minute I do is a reflection of how I feel about me. Cause they're not a part of a religion.